Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Choga, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Pastor. How are you doing?
Oh, it's been a great day.
There's been a fantastic one, man. Happy Preparation Day to you.
Thank you. Same to you.
Now we are concluding our discussion that we started on Wednesday, talking about death and resurrection, which is rather the fundamental belief of the Seventh-day Adventists. Now, this seemingly grim subject is important to Adventist Christians because it brings about hope to those who are hurting. Whether you've lost someone you loved and wonder if they will be in heaven, or you've wondered if they are presently suffering in hell. It's reassuring to know that God isn't a vindictive God. Now, how do we prepare for death, Pastor, and ensure that we're a part of a first resurrection? Remember, we spoke about the first and second resurrections yesterday.
Yes, sure. Thank you very much for the question on how we prepare for death. And there's never been a time in the history of mankind where it's easy to talk about preparation for death than today, because you know how people have these policies, these life insurance, to make sure that their business is taken care of by the time their life comes to an end.
Mm-hmm.
But as you read the Bible, there is further preparation, like you are asking, more than just preparing for how I'm going to be buried and what's going to happen to my children after I'm gone. We need to prepare also for the resurrection, because like we said in the past 2 days, death is not the end. So our preparation is not done when we've paid our funeral policy and stuff. There's still more to be done. We need to prepare for the resurrection. And there is only one way to prepare for the resurrection. When you read Revelation chapter 14, verse 13, the Bible says, "I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds will follow them." So the most important thing is to die, but not just dying, to die in the Lord. It's like you've made an investment, and you've invested your life in the Lord. And then when you die, it's not over, because you've got that hope. I want to tie that text in with John chapter 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And also John chapter 11, where Jesus Christ says, "Whoever believes in me, though they may die, yet they will live again."
Beautiful. Now, salvation is what we speak about almost all the time. But are there steps that we can take that would lead us to salvation?
Yes, sure. So I think we touched upon that topic a bit yesterday when we're asking, how are we saved? Are we saved by works, or we are saved by grace? So when it comes to salvation, we have the two elements. The first element in our salvation is the fact of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. So the fact that Jesus Christ died historically more than 2,000 years ago already means that God's grace has been extended to everyone who is in the world. But so long as it remains a historical fact, it does not make an impact in my life until I make it personal. So there is then the historical death of Jesus Christ on the cross and my experience with that event. What is my experience? What has that event done to me? Has it produced a positive reaction towards God? So there is also, that's why there is this, we are saved by grace through faith. Faith is the one that then cashes in on this, if it was a check that God has made available, which is salvation. Faith is the one that makes it available. So we need to hold on and believe in what Jesus Christ has done for us, so that we can have access to the blessings that proceed from what he has done for us on the cross. So in the context of the resurrection, we need to accept that we are saved by Jesus Christ, walk with him in faith, and then when we die, we have this hope that we will be resurrected again.
Now, yesterday you made a comment in passing that good works are the result of a life under grace.
Mm-hmm.
Would you please just expand on that? Are we then saved by grace or faith?
Yes, we are saved by grace through faith. There is no other way that we are saved.
Mm.
Because God has, actually, even if you think about it logically, there is no other way to be saved. We are already sinners before we begin. So it's only the grace of God that can deal with our problem of sin so that salvation can be available to us. So there is no other way for salvation except grace and faith, believing in what Jesus Christ has done. But when we come to judgment and the resurrection, our works are brought under review because the works become evidence of the operation of grace in our life.
Mm.
But it's not like the works are helping grace. Grace is sufficient all on its own. It doesn't need any assistance, but the works become the evidence because we will need to answer the question of why will some sinners be saved and other sinners be lost? It's because they didn't take full advantage of the grace that God has given them. So there is need to review the evidence. That's what the judgment is all about. And that's what leads to others getting eternal life and others going to condemnation.
Mm. Interesting. Now, how does our understanding of death and resurrection impact on our approach to grief and loss? I mean, many times, we lose our loved ones and people are in tears and quite frankly, difficult sometimes to comfort. So we then have to understand the issue of death and resurrection and how it would impact our grief or and loss. Please explain how would that be?
Yeah. So our belief in the resurrection is a very, very important element to help us to deal with moments of grief. Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church when they had the same problem. They were struggling to deal with their brethren who were dying before the second coming of Jesus Christ. And Paul writes to them, giving them the assurance, as you read the book of Thessalonians, that Jesus Christ is going to come again. And he didn't want them.
Yes, Pastor? Pastor, I'm not sure what happened on the line. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay, thank you so much. We can conclude, Pastor. You were addressing the question that I was asking, how does our understanding of death and resurrection impact our approach to grief?
Yes, so I was referring to how Paul dealt with the same issue with the Thessalonian church. When you read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18, he says, "We do not want you to be uninformed about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope." So actually, the Bible talks about death as a sleep. And that's another important element we need to understand, because if someone sleeps, we know they will wake up again. So yes, there is grief in death because we are losing a loved one.
Mm-hmm.
But the anticipation that this is not the final thing, they are going to rise up, we are going to see them again. We will not sink into, like, you know, desperate, hopeless grief. So it's very, very important for us to continue meditating upon the doctrine of the resurrection until it gets into our hearts. And this, we do not do it during the moments of grieving, because if we do it during the moments of grieving, it's already too late. It's supposed to be when things are okay right now, to continue thinking about this issue of a resurrection, continue grounding ourselves in the hope that if God brought Jesus from the dead, and Jesus is the first fruits of those who have resurrected, together with Jesus Christ, those who die in him will also be resurrected. If we continue to meditate upon that and it strongly impacts our lives, it will help us deal with those moments when we have lost our loved ones.
Mm, indeed. Pastor, what would then be your, you know, closing remarks as we will be letting you go?
You know, Firstly, thank you for having me. It's been a wonderful moment.
Oh, yes.
And the topic that we've been discussing is a very, very important one for two reasons. The first reason, like we noticed the first day we discussed, the issue of death is a very potent tool in the hands of the devil. He wants to use it to threaten people, to make them to be scared, and to control them by making them think that the dead are not really dead. So it's an important topic to understand that no, the dead are dead, they are unconscious until Jesus Christ comes for the second time, so that we do not open the door to the deceptions of the devil who wants to control us through our departed relatives. The second element of this lesson that is very, very important is the element of hope. When we realize that there is going to be a resurrection and death is not the terminal point of our life, it's a pause, it's a sleep, like what the Bible calls it. And when Jesus Christ calls out through the sound of a trumpet, like Corinthians says, we will rise again. So we can live with hope, we can live with strength, because we know there is a bright future that God has prepared ahead of us.
Beautiful stuff there, Pastor Man. I do wish that you have a fantastic afternoon further, and of course that you enter into the Sabbath with blessings from the Lord. May you have a fantastic and a special weekend, eh?
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Lovely. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.